You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
I'm talking to Drew McMillan from the School of Music at the University of Auckland. Drew, thank you for chatting with me today. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad.
You're in your second year of your PhD right now. Could you explain to listeners your research and why you got into this particular area?
The reason why I got into it, first of all, the area, I guess, in terms of finding ways for disabled artists or musicians to engage better with instruments and the and playing, and how do we use instruments when we're playing, or how can we better use instruments when we're playing, and what types of instruments can we use, or what types of instruments, more importantly, and this is where I'll be focusing, what types of instruments do we need to make for ourselves to be playing, because I myself am disabled. So that leads straight into why I'm interested in this area. And I'm disabled through an accident I had in 2004. So that gives me a time where I was playing music with instruments before my accident, reasonably proficiently, like I was playing professionally and doing a wide range of genres, you know, like money gigs, whatever they were, you know, that could be anywhere, and a lot of explorative music, improvised music and settings and music for theatre and other types of commissioned projects. And then there's a time now after the accident, so that's really restricted my ability to play music with conventional instruments. So I'm looking at how I can get back to playing again, and that's really the focus of the work.
Yeah, and you've recently published a paper about that relationship between musicians and instruments, and your work specifically centered around designing digital and accessible instruments for disabled musicians. What were the kind of outcomes or findings of that work in particular?
The reason we wrote that paper was because I was looking into the frameworks that exist, and you see a lot of the designing of instruments for people with disabilities is done by able-bodied people. Working on participatory design methods, and so working very closely with these people with disabilities on an instrument that suits them. The frameworks work reasonably well. They work on the idea of assessing, you know, what the musician wants to do, what their goals are. So they're sort of structured around, the frameworks are structured around goals and some, you know, the desires, which might include the genre of music the person makes, and then matching those with the technology that's available to make instruments. They also obviously look at, you know, what the person's able to do physically. However, where I felt there was a gap, and this was only because I have this period of time before being disabled and afterwards, and my relationship with my instruments from before the accident and after the accident, I felt there was missing in the framework a way of diving deeper into assessing the relationship the person wants with the instrument. That makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm really interested in a term that continues to kind of come up in this work, the metric, I suppose, of intimacy with an instrument. Does that, I mean, you touched on it just then, but does that kind of describe connection or emotionality, or is that complete misinterpretation of that term in the context?
No, it's both of those things and more. It's a full ecology, really. It's the environment that you exist in to play music, but that encompasses so much, because that encompasses how you access the instrument first of all, even like how you even get to it and how it gets to you. And then that accessibility comes through how you're able to interface with it. So how, whether you touch it and what the responses are from that. Because for me, what's been missing is that I've been using a laptop to perform. When I first started performing again, it was very much laptop orientated or computer orientated. But before that, see, before my accident, I was a saxophone player, but now I can't hold the saxophone or finger, you know, place my fingers on it or move my fingers on it. So that makes that impossible. And that relationship with the saxophone was very tactile and it had a whole, such a deep sort of connection in so many ways with my body, but that would then feed into my subjective experience or the phenomenology around playing music. So when I'm experiencing playing music with a saxophone before my accident, you know, you get to a point where the saxophone disappears, and they call it an area of flow where you and your instrument and your surroundings are sort of united into one process of creating music. Or, and it exists in sport, it exists in writing, it exists in any task that we might do. We'll experience flow when we're fully absorbed in everything. We're not separated anymore from the things that we're using to carry out the tasks or the processes of the tasks that we're doing these things. The instrument itself becomes almost like another part of your body. Like, even being called a functional organ is also being termed functional transparency, where the instrument completely disappears as an instrument or as an object.
Right, and kind of a little bit related to that discussion of flow, in discussions of accessibility kind of as a whole, there's a very succinct analogy of the curb cut effect, which kind of, just for people who aren't familiar, displays that tailoring things to the needs of those with disabilities can also kind of aid those without disabilities as well. Do you think creating instruments that serve the needs of a range of bodies or bodies that are different to what some people might consider the norm, do you think that the creation of those could potentially create experiences for able-bodied people that would kind of adhere to that curb cut effect, or create kind of novel experiences for them that might popularize these forms of instruments?
This is the other thing that's been written about it, is that disabilities are so unique across each individual that you need such bespoke solutions for them. And that means that each instrument has its own qualities.
Yeah.
But having said that, yeah, there's no reason why someone who's not disabled or has a different disability can't interact with that instrument or that solution or those ideas in ways that serve them and change or even possibly promote different ways of playing or doing anything, really.
Do you kind of see this work being implemented in spaces, or alternatively, what kind of spaces do you think would suit these findings? Do you want the discourse to reach kind of like a public level, or would you prefer it be kind of niche, I guess?
I've been really thinking about that terms of how I write my thesis, and I'd really like my thesis to be quite accessible in terms of not so, I mean, obviously it has to be academic, you know, it has to be an academic piece of writing, it has to, you know, be quite heavy in places in terms of references, in terms of the work being so backed up and having enough weight of research behind it and support behind it that the arguments behind it are strong. But you also want it to be readable, and I'd love for it to somehow be readable at a level where the academia of it or the that way of reading it wasn't important. so it had a wider spread outside of the academic sort of and design world that this work exists in, that it could reach people at a more sort of street level, for want of a better word or way of putting it. But that might be just something I have to do separately.
Yeah. Well, we could talk for hours on the subject, but we've got 10 minutes. So thank you, Drew McMillan from the School of Music at the University of Auckland, for talking to me today about his PhD thesis of designing a bespoke digital musical instrument that's tailored to his physical abilities. Thank you so much, Drew.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the opportunity.
Of course.
And thanks to my supervisor, Fabio, and my other supervisor, John.
Takes a village.
School of Music, yeah.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.